The black spinner plant is here to buy, let the angels pass. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Bless this day, Father. As we come before you, Lord, we give our thanks and glory to thee. We bless thy holy name. For thou art truly worthy of praise, Lord. Once again, Father, as we approach thy word, we ask for your presence to be with us, Lord. Anoint the speaking and anoint the hearing, Father, in the heart that will receive, Lord. That the thing that we learn once again, Father, as you remind us of your holiness and your goodness, Lord, and your love, and all that benefit that you gave to us in Christ Jesus, your only begotten Son, that, Lord, truly, as we receive it, we hide in our hearts, Lord, and meditate upon these things, as to the nearness of the hour that we are now living in, to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there be in our heart, Father, that you desire to meet the Lord in the air. Father, Lord, help us, O Lord Jesus, to come to that place, really, to catch that revelation, Lord, that our life, O Father, will be fully, O God, prepared for the coming of the Lord. We ask for your blessing now, Father, as we approach that word once again in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. Let's go to the book where we left off last week again, and let me recollect something for you. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, once again, we are taking out time to look at some of these things that we have learned back then in 1991. And that was some 15 years ago when some of the children were not even around. And some of you were just a little toddler. And so time to learn again. Genesis chapter 3, and we look at verse 14 onward now, and this, the curse, or the judgment pronounced upon the serpent, the woman, and the man. Verse 40, and the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Now when we look at this, as I said, denominationalism, because of tradition, do not have that revelation that we have today. And I believe that, once again I say this, if it wasn't God sending a prophet to bring about a message and to bring up some of the important doctrine or mysteries that were hit to the eyes of denominational systems, we will not be able to see this truth today. When I was in the exams of God, I have read this, but you know, you just read it. And that's why many people, when they read the Bible, they just read it. Sort of. Well, they know, yeah, the denomination taught this, taught that, and we just take for granted that those things that were taught, they were the truth. That Adam in an apple, and Eve in an apple, and Adam in an apple, and things like that, and just accept it. But now that we came into the light of the message to point us back to the word of the Lord, and if we have, as Brother Bram said, if we are Holy Ghost baptized, we have the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, certainly we will not be able to see the truth. It takes the Holy Spirit to give us the revelation. Is that all right? And surely enough that if we would take our time to read the Bible carefully, like here, it says, God said to the Son, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Now, if you read the statement like this, it tells us that the serpent must be the highest of all creation, of all the animal kingdom. Is that alright? And then the next thing tells us that upon thy belly thou shalt go, and thus thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. Tells me then they cannot previously been a snake or a lizard hanging up on a tree and then dropped down to the floor and became a snake. Because a lizard, you know, with arms and legs and a tail up there on a tree, it's still not above all cattle, above every field, every beast of the field. So it tells me then, it cannot be Because back in the same chapter, in verse 1 of chapter 3, the Bible tells me, it tells us that it says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. And we know that he can talk. And he talked. He could communicate. And he did to Eve. Isn't that right? And we know that it cannot be, like denomination will tell you, that he was possessed by serpent, by Satan, like the Satan possessed the donkey of Balaam. Is that right? And they was able to talk. No, the Bible did not say anything like that here. So we realize then that since that he could communicate freely with the Eve, and this being that he's above every beast, every cattle on the field. Now you look at any animal in the field. All the little ones are four and four legs. Or even the tinier one, little creature spider, has eight legs or six legs. Isn't that so? And the animals are four legged. And then you come even the chimpanzee. Whatever, all those, they all are four legs, but when they try to stand and look like, trying to look like man on two legs, they're very intelligent. Isn't that right? But it isn't true. We realize that this is an animal here that looks very much like man. It stood upright, and his gene has an affinity to mankind. And that's why we realize today, if you look at this denomination, we'll not look at it. But look into what a science or scientist, I won't say science, but scientist, the mad one. And they try to do things that are just, well, we'll say, go against the word of God. Hybriding. What is a hybrid? What are they hybrid? They have hybrid a tiger with a lion. And you got a liger. But the poor chap that was born is sterile. He cannot propagate his own kind. And that's why we realize the Bible tells us that everything brings forth his own kind. Anything you hybrid, dead. The seed cannot be propagated anymore. Do you understand that? You see, and that's why the lion and the tiger come together, head plus to a liger. And the fur, you get a male liger, a female liger, and try to get them together, they can't. They can't produce. You understand that we have what we call an ass. You know what an ass is? An ass is, it comes from a male donkey and a female horse. You understand that? And that poor fella, an ass, could not even actually reproduce itself. And now we have the zebra, a zebra and a donkey. And we get a zebra. This is all in the zoo, you can see it. You know. And I said, so much so that even Chinese scientists back in the 70s or 80s, I believe it was, they tried to hybrid a man and a gorilla. Oh my. They tried to produce a gorilla man. With the strength of a gorilla and the intelligence of a man. Why did the scientists believe that they could do it? Because they know the affinity. But you know, the animal affinity next to the man is gone. And that's the serpent. But you can take the lion and tiger because they are just next in the family line. You can take a zebra and a donkey because next to the family line. You know. But now that animal that could hybrid with man, the serpent, it was gone. It had become a snake. And that's why we the denominator cannot see this because they do not know it. But we look at the scripture here, it tells us the serpent was more subtle. Now I want you to notice that the word subtle here is the same as the word a bird in verse 25 of chapter 2, the word naked. Now it comes from the Hebrew word arum. In the first sense here of verse 25, when a man and a woman was naked, they were not ashamed. It's to show that they were not only good. They do not have the perception or the knowledge of perception of what is evil as the serpent would have that knowledge. You understand that? And that knowledge comes from where? That knowledge comes from the serpent. I mean from Satan itself by influence. If you don't have Satan in the Garden of Eden, If you remove Satan, that serpent would have no knowledge of what is evil, like all the animals. Do you understand that? So when we look at this, later on, as we look into the rest of the chapter, I will now explain. But for now, let us go back. So we realize that by looking at the word a bit carefully, the serpent had now become a snake crawling on his belly. Before that, it was like a man, unable to have affinity with the blood of mankind. But now it became a snake. It totally changed. The whole structure totally changed. The whole genetic, everything was totally changed. You cannot now take the blood of a snake or the egg of a snake and try to incubate it with the mankind. You can't, because the whole structure genetically was altered. You got it? Now, let's go to verse 15. And now we'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and the seed. And we know that that is true. That's so that here, the serpent had a seed. Now, you cannot deny that. But in normal language, we're always trying to explain away in the spiritual sense and everything. But we know that all compiled prophecy, the way that it is written, the way that you want to carry a thought into the future, yes, the prophecy here are compounded. Or a dual prophecy. One spiritually pushing into the future to talk about the seed of God. Or the seed of the woman. That's Christ Jesus. We know that. Is it alright? But at this stage now, if you look into the future that the seed of the woman represents Christ, then who is the seed of the serpent? Then who is the seed of the serpent? In the future. Or you say, oh, that's the Antichrist. Now you're talking about a spiritual seed. You know? Are you talking about Jesus being a spiritual seed of the woman? Yeah, but down there, right then God was speaking to the serpent. I put enemy between thy seed. Hey, you see, he's talking about, if I were to talk to you, I'll put the enemy between your seed and the woman's seed, so that you have a seed in there. Here, God was speaking directly to the serpent then. That means the serpent then had the seed. And that seed was Cain. Right? We are bypassed this when we are in denomination. But now when we begin to look, many times when I go back and read the Bible and we look at some of the things that we have known, and I begin to see many things even clearer, because many times we bypass many things. Okay, let us go on. He said right here. Let's go to verse 16 now. Go to verse 15, the second part. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. We know that, of course, again, prophetically speaking of Christ who bruised the head of Satan, isn't it? So, and then where Satan only could bruise the heel of Christ, which of course is a small thing. You know, put him to death and so on. I mean, we see this spiritually, yes. Okay? But let's go right now, verse 16. Unto the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Again, here we know that a woman was greatly multiplying the conception. And that's why we are 13 times a year. No animal have that. Huh? Only mankind have that. This great multiplication and pain when it comes to delivery. And sorrow, great sorrow. Just about term and all these things, and there is this pain that comes and contraction and all this. You know that? But you don't see the animal having this problem. You know, and when we look at it, realize that it has to do something with the reproductive organ that was misused. Could not be any clearer, you know. Then we go on and says, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Well, here again, denomination bypass. Thy desire, God is speaking to the woman, thy desire shall be to your husband. What did God say that to her? Why? If her desire was an apple, that's very funny, isn't it? You love the apple, isn't it? If you love that fruit, right? Your desire is for that fruit. Now your desire is to be to your husband. It don't make any sense, does it? Huh? Your desire is not to the apple or fruit. Her desire was to somebody else. And God says, now on, your desire will be to the husband. And that's why, you know what? From that time on, you can see polygamy is only for the man to have more than one wife. as serpent seed brought it in, and God allows it for the time. But no woman can have more than one husband. It will be called adultery. You understand that? Because they said, you only could have one husband. Literally, it's one man here. Your desire, whatever, your emotion, your sexual feeling, your passion, all will go to that one husband of yours. See? And it couldn't be any clearer that what we know, it was something to do with sex. In the desire, and also for that multiplication of conception, and sorrow in childbearing. Right? Verse 17 now. And here comes Adam's turn. Because you have hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and have eaten of the tree, of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Yeah, hearken to your wife. And then, Adam says, what could I know? I love her. You know what? Well, in the sense it is true. You have hearkened to your wife, or to your wife. Not touch of that tree. You know? And that's what brought the fall. That was a wrong choice, Adam. But there is another man who hearkened to the wife too. And that man was Jesus Christ. He hearkened to the call of the bride that was lost. But he did the right thing. Right? The first Adam brought death was a living soul, but he brought death. The last Adam was a quickening spirit. He brought back the life. See that? Now, look at it here. Curse is the ground for thy sick. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of your life. Thorn and thistle shall be bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. Thorn and thistle shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field in the sweat of thy face. Shall thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Well, you know, thorn and thistle shall it bring forth. Now, it appears to me that in that sense it means to say that thorn and thistle wasn't supposed to come out of the ground. But thorn and thistle now start to grow. And God was punishing Adam. He says, I will curse the ground. And then you, in sorrow, you have to work hard now. It doesn't bear fruit on the tree, and the earth doesn't bring forth, you know, vegetation just so freely for you. Now you have to work for it. You have to work for it. You know. And so, why? We know that the serpent's gone. The serpent was made as a servant. It was created as a servant. Now a lot of people in the end time, says too, on the forum side, they were arguing about this, the brother guy was wrong. And they argue all kinds of things, you know. What do you think a serpent was made for? You know? Well, wasn't it that the Bible said God told Adam to dress the garden? Is that right? And keep it. Of course, you know, you need to, because why? Grass will grow, of course, isn't it? Plant will grow bigger, and the tree will grow bigger. You need to trim it. You know? And if you don't trim it, what will happen to those trees and those bushes, those plants? And some of these believers think that, oh, Adam was going out there doing all the trimming, you know, all that work. Then the Bible said, that Adam was to have dominion over all the creatures of the air, land, sea. If he had dominion, does it not mean that he have authority? I'm a son of a king. I'm a child of a king. This earth is mine. This land is mine. God give this land to me. Serpent, take care of it. Cut the tree, prune the tree, trim the plant, and so on and so on. That was his job. You know? And yet, some people just cannot see that. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it doesn't mean that Adam just lie back and relax. No, he have to go and look at the garden too. Just like a supervisor, you know what I mean? He's the boss. He's supposed to take care of it. He goes around looking at it, the whole garden, and make sure that things are taken care of. You know? And a garden is not small. It's not the size of this hall. You know? Just think about the size of the island of Singapore. Maybe three times the size of the island of Singapore. And you have a lot of plant here, of course you will want to travel, huh? And he said, horse, come here. And you sit on the horse and want to go inspect. You inspect the whole land, make sure that the place is well taken care of. You see? But they don't seem to understand that the serpent was made for that purpose. But of course, it didn't last long anyway before the fall came, you know? Just a short while. And so now, he had to sweat. He had to till. Every time he plants something, thorn and teaser comes out to take the nutrients of the earth that was to feed the fruit trees or any vegetation that Adam planted. They were taking up the nutrients. So Adam had to go and make sure they take away the weeds and the thorns and the thistles that grow up. You see. But the land was still as strong as it is, only that he has to get rid of all that stuff to get a better result for his fruit, or the trees that he plants and the fruits and so on. Alright? And until you return unto the ground, for out of it thou was taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. You know, that wasn't speaking of the soul. They were speaking of the whole human being, the living soul, in that body. When you die, your whole body goes back to the dust, for you came out from it. But the spirit of life in that dust is returned to the Lord from when it came. You understand that? Alright? And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And to Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Before the woman was called Eve, she was merely called woman. Is that right? Merely called woman. Because that was what Adam called her back over in chapter 2 and verse 23. Very clear right there. Adam said, this is not bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Because what? She was taken out of man. I remember in a Jewish humor, they always call their wife, woman! You know, woman! But that's actually respect, because a woman of the house, not a man of the house, a woman of the house. Woman! You know, where's my breakfast? You know. Alright? But now, the woman, Adam called his wife Eve. Now that's strange. Now, if he said God called Adam's wife Eve, no. Adam called his own wife Eve. So now you are called Eve. Why is that such a revelation that Adam had? Because the word Eve means life, living. Huh? And she is truly the mother of all that lives, even today. She is the mother of all living human beings. Not the mother of all living, as if including animals. Alright? She's mother of all living, mother of all mankind. Why? Because, right as we look at it, here in the garden, we have Adam. Right? That's Adam right there. And then we have the serpent. And then we have Eve. Now, here is where I draw a little egg. The serpent had sexual intercourse or fornicated with Eve. And Adam then, of course, knew Eve and planted in her a seed. And so from there on, bring forth two sons. One was Abel and the other was Cain. Right? And therefore, Eve was the mother of all living men, of all that live today, mankind. He couldn't be son of Adam being the father of all living. He can't. Because Cain was not his son. We know that. Now let's continue right now. Unto Adam and to his wife did God make coats of skin and clothe them. And we know, of course, after they committed sin and they realized they were naked and they saw a fig tree and they hide themselves. Huh? It wasn't sufficient. So God had to take animal and slay them, take the skin of the animal and clothe them. Why? Because blood was involved. And it has to be animal blood because the serpent was the beast of the field. He was an animal. Only that he was not created in the image of God. And we know this very clearly when we believe this sort of doctrine about the serpent seed. Time and time again, when I talk to some denominations, they think that we are all weird people. They think that this is a very terrible doctrine. Do you know that? Now how can a human being, mankind, have such intercourse with animal kind? Don't you see what we are doing in the world today? What do you have in Sodom and Gomorrah? Bestial, isn't it? Is that right? You see? And so much so we call it sodomy. And yet sodomy applies to a man sodomize another man. That's how terrible it is. Animal instinct! Quote, bad kind. Huh? You understand what I'm saying now? What is so tough for people to believe it? And why did God have to take coat of skin from animal and clothe Adam in it? Because an animal was involved. That's why blood must be shed. And that's the beginning of understanding that blood was involved in the fall. And that's why Jesus can bypass the blood of humankind. He must be virgin born. And he must shed blood too. To cleanse away that stain that corrupt mankind. It's as clear as daylight in the scriptures here. Huh? Very strange for people hard to believe that, wow, how could Eve have such an intercourse with a serpent which is an animal? Why cannot be? Very simple, look at it this way. Take a white man and a black lady. Extreme, isn't it? Huh? Pure white, pure black. Can they come together? They could. Huh? And you have half brown. Coffee with milk, as you usually say here. Kopi susu. So you have that color. Huh? But of course, but they're human. Right, they're human. But only thing about human is that we all were created, we have the image of God. We were created in the image of God. And Adam first was created. But the serpent, he was like a man only that he wasn't created in the image of God. Is that right? He wasn't created in the image of God. The Bible clearly distinct from the creation of man from that of animals. You see. But the serpent was so much like man. And those beautiful of all creatures in the field. Most intelligent. Only he doesn't have the soul of God in him. He doesn't have it. You understand that? He doesn't have the spirit of God in him. Though he was created a living soul. Like Adam was created a living soul. Like all animals are living soul. But the soul of all animals are not in the image of God. Is that right? They were in the image of the dust of the field. Of the ground. Adam was first created a spirit in the image of God. For God, that was what God is. Huh? Only that because of a spirit that has no material body of the earth, Adam could not manifest on himself, so God had to take the dust of the ground. And that's where the animal was taken from too. So God took the dust of God and formed a body. And put that spirit into that body of dust. Then now man became a living soul. Before that, Adam was a spirit. He could not be called a living soul. You know, understand? You understand that? You see? Because he could not manifest in a world like this. Or anymore a living soul because he could manifest. A dog manifests, a dog and a horse manifests as a horse. A man manifests as a man. But today, look at men, they are corrupt. We are all corrupt. Not now, I believe. But mankind were corrupt after the fall. You know, they are extremism. Those who have a greater predominantly, what do you call that, strong spirit of the serpent. Huh? For example, language can get into Ham. Huh? Or just look what came, the pure seeds of the serpent. Look at it manifest a kind of spirit. And today where we have, look at some of those criminals and the cheaters and liars and all kinds of people that do all kinds of things. You look at this, you know that some kind of spirit is behind that. You understand that? It's the life that is in the blood. Do you know one thing? I'm not talking about just demon possession or things like that. We're talking about the life that is in the blood. And you and I, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for us that God give us His Spirit to be born again, then I believe some of us would be terrible, wouldn't it? Huh? God give us grace somewhere along our journey, no matter whether you're young or old, whatever, 20, 30, 40, 50, somewhere along the line, God give you the gospel to put that before you. And when you begin to listen to it, then you realize your life was just a mess. You were walking this in darkness. You were doing things that were contrary. Now you want to say, Lord, I want to come to you. You know, teach me, guide me, show me. And that's why people are living the way they live, because there is something that is in us or in mankind. They were so corrupt, they messed everything up. Do you understand that? You don't know about the power of the Spirit. Let me just say this. I was watching this documentary on Channel News Asia. It is called Is It Real? I saw the first episode. It's about chi, about the supernatural. And I couldn't believe what I saw. You know, that they took, this documentary took journey into the realm of some Islamic group. Whether they would take a knife, a dagger, and punch it into the head. And here was a man who called himself one who practiced, a doctor who practiced hypnosis. He wanted to make sure that he isn't hypnosis. So he went. He started to pull out the knife out of the head, but you know, he's quite different. He's stuck under the skull. And then see people skewer themselves, you know. And there's no pain, no blood. So he said, hey, this is real. So he subject himself there and there. Through all the chanting, whatever it is, and said, ready, he's supposed to pass some kind of internal, some energy or what, some forces, and he put a skewer, and somebody opened their mind, just skewered through, and he said, don't feel any pain. And then he came back, they stayed, and then they did the tests on him, because there are something that prove that there is an explanation behind this. But the first part of the documentary actually kind of shocked me. Here was a man who was supposed to be a master of Qi, Tai Chi. An American man who taught Bruce Lee and Jet Li and all that, I don't know. So he showed him holding a man's hand with the palm, with his fist on his face and yet touching, and the man collapsed. Then he had to take the man and start to beat him up and get him back. Stun him. You see. And again he take another man, he just hit him in the stomach. Then of course fall back. Then after that he said that he could create a ball of fire, a ball of chi, and just shove it and the man will fall. And I look at that, I said, oh, that's too much. Because when you were young, when I was young, yeah, we know all this Chinese kung fu thing, you know, they throw a fireball, boom, they're supposed to be chi. And here was supposed to be what it is. They put a curtain between the man and a row of men on the other side of the curtain, where they couldn't see, and he's supposed to move them, and they're supposed to be, and they moved. So, well, there was skeptic to try to prove it isn't true. And you know what? Pressure point is one thing. You understand about a pressure point? Hit him and he fall. Very likely, just touch him, hit him, and the man will collapse and he will get stunned. But the key thing is a lot of bogus things. And finally, it reminds me of Benny Hinn, delusion. The man said, he didn't believe it. You have it. Because there was this skeptic, the scientist trying to prove. He said, you do it to me. He stood right there and the man was supposed to have it. Couldn't bring him down. So they give an explanation, oh, because he's an unbeliever. Of course! Just a Benny Hinn, everybody will fall. Because you believe it. There is the real, and there is the unreal. And all these things right there, in the end, you know the explanation, I told you this before. There are three kinds of spirit. Spirit of God, the spirit of man, and the demonic spirit. Do you understand? And you know the human mind, the human spirit has a lot of energy, a lot of power. You know what I mean? Within you, psychic yourself or psycho yourself, whatever you want to call it. You understand that? And so that's why people, they go into a trance and all these things and they psychic themselves up in meditation and get themselves calm and the energy comes out, they skewer themselves and they don't feel any pain. They don't feel pain, they pull it out, you know, no pain, nothing. And that's what it is called by the human spirit, you know. And there is something that is in every one of us. After the fall, they cause us men to do things very contrary to the word of God. Men try to feel that their spirit is more powerful, they could do this, and they go sick for it, they do it. But some went over into the realm of transcendental meditation. You know. And then of course, those who are not, are very neutral. But those who are Christians, we also seek for the Spirit of the Lord. Is that right? To anoint us, to embody our life, to walk in the life of righteousness. Is that alright? According to where? Because this world is not our home. What do you want to be? You see. So we need to realize this now. Go to verse 22 now. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil. Look at that. Man has now become like one of us. Now, God, speaking to the angel here, of course some say that God is speaking to the Son. But in one sense of the word, if you know what we are talking about in the Logos form, the sonship, because you have the Spirit of God and we have the Theophany, the Logos. And of course, to argue over this issue, the Hebrew always say that God speak to the angel, I fantasy is to go by this way rather than try to get complicated and give too much of an explanation regarding the Almighty Spirit and the Logos. You understand that? And that's which bear the sonship. So, we won't want to say that God speak to God in that sense, like some people do, God the Father speak to God the Son. Alright? So now the Bible said that God said, behold, man has become one of us to know good and evil. Let me ask you there, and I said this before. God knows good and evil. God knows, right? The angel knows good and evil. That's why God talked to the angel. But wasn't the angel creating the image of God? Wasn't Adam creating the image of God? I said last week, do you believe that when Adam was created, does he know good and evil? Because he was creating the image of God, he should know good and evil to a certain extent. But because he was created, he need to learn to. Just like Jesus Christ, he need to learn. The more that you learn about what good and evil is, you will take the side, because you are of God, you take the side of the good. You don't want to go beyond. The day that you take up that other side, you burn. You understand that? Or death comes in, so to speak. Like I told you about this, you know, about the chili. Everything red looks good. Red tomato, red apple, you know. Huh? Persimmon is red. Very sweet. Grapefruit is red. Very nice. You know, by the time you give a great chili, nice red chili, and all this is hot now. You want to try. You see, the angels, everyone are creating the image of God. They have this knowledge of what good and evil is. But they do not know beyond what happened or what it tastes like when you cross over to the other side that is evil. Do you understand that? So to know more of this knowledge of good and evil as you grow, is to be loyal to the Word of God. It's to be subject to the Word of God. You know that, don't you? So when we become a Christian, we know what is good now. I mean, before you're a Christian, you know what is good. Only basic, huh? Don't you think so? Basically, you know what is good. But when you become a Christian, you know some of the good. It's not good, the good thing. Huh? It's not the really good thing. Is it because our eyes is opened by the Word of God? So at a certain level, there is a knowledge, but to go beyond it, you don't have it. You see? So we learned, and Adam, and when the man took up that tree, Adam knew completely, don't touch that. But Eve, when they took it, then her eyes was open. You know, hey, this is not so good as what we thought it was. It was a totally evil thing. But it's too late. You could have learned. You could have learned from the Word of God. You could have learned by being obedient. But people wanted to do disobedient things. So the angel, everyone was tested. You know what? God is fair. He wants everyone. Because He created the angel and man in His own image. So He must present this test. Do you understand that? And what did the Bible say when Jesus Christ was born? Huh? The Bible said He grew in favor with God and man. He learned good. Does Jesus know what is evil? Sure. Did He taste evil? No. But you know what is good and evil. But He learned and subject obedience. He's obedient to God's word. You see? And sometimes, if we don't look at the word of it, the word of God, what is all man? And we just simply take denomination, oh, it's a tree, there's one tree called good and evil, that's the tree called knowledge of, tree of life. And we just get that and just forget about anything that doesn't make sense. We just simply accept it. We don't care so much about what truth really is at all. You know why? As I said this one thing, if you're a child of God, you have a thirst in your heart. You have a thirst in your soul, a thirst in your spirit for truth. You know? Don't you think so? And sometimes when we see some people do something wrong on the outside, we get very frustrated. Huh? We get very upset. What is this person doing? All these things. You know what I mean? Because we know we dislike it. We see all the world, crazy thing that's going on. You know, the whole world is all messed up. It is very messed up, isn't it? Huh? Religion. Oh, the Pope said something. He called an old Pope. And everybody in the Islamic world started to raise up their voices. And I don't think he meant to say anything that was bad, you know what I mean? And then last night, I don't know whether it was a Greek Orthodox or someone on the news, I can't remember, what is a Greek Orthodox, he wore that kind of hair, I just came and glanced, I didn't know who he was. So he was saying, I hope that the Muslims don't take it that all the other denominations are involved or something like that, it's the kind of church. You know? You say, you know what? You think even if there is all this uprising of religion, fighting another religion, do you think that they would differentiate between you, whether you're Methodist or Lutheran or Anglican? They don't. You see? And that's what happened over in India. The Hindu go against the Muslim, the Muslim go against the Hindu. Don't care what kind of Hindu you are. They don't care what sect of the Muslim you are in. So people don't care what sect you are in, what denomination you are in. The whole world is crazy. Everybody is killing everybody. No, we change something! I mean, Chang, but who's that? The President Chang Chun. You know, now, every country, look at all the world, it's all mad. And so what we are looking at, even the IMF here, the World Bank comes here, and all about this protest and all this demonstration. Why are people always going to do that? See the world, if you go back, those of us who are 40s now, or 50, that's us go 20 years back. Back in the 80s, 70s. We don't see so much of this. But we are seeing it from day to day, the world is getting more wicked. People are more self-centered for themselves. They want this, they want that, and this and that. Huh. And if you ever watch the World Bank report, American dollar, there's going to be inflation, huh? Buy gold now. But what is the use of gold? Is it just a yellow metal? But what would, of course, if there is another generation ahead, it would be alright. But what if not? And we receive this, I don't know where you do, if you receive this, your electric bill and a gas bill and water bill, they enclose a pamphlet. Stocked up, ready for the emergency. Whoa. Sounds real bad. Sounds like there's going to be a flood in Singapore, going to be some disaster in Singapore. You know what I mean? Because the whole world is, everybody is paranoid. Are you? Everybody is paranoid. You know what I mean? Fearing what's going to happen, what's going to happen. Yeah, of course, we want to just be sure that we prevent all these bad guys coming here and do all this. But it shows us that the world is now at the brink of a disaster created by man. Not by my nature. I'm not talking about the typhoon, the hurricanes and earthquake, but a disaster that men will destroy themselves. You see? That's the human spirit, which is all corrupt after the fall. And now, lest he put forth his hand, that's why I said, there's a sudden silence. And now, lest he put forth his hand and also take of the tree of life. Here is something that just kind of make us to see, oh my, God is making a statement to show that there's something great expecting to come to happen. And therefore the Lord sent Adam forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from where he was taken. So he drove out the man. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden, cherubim, and the flaming sword, which turned everywhere to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, of course, we know that this is the way that the Holy Spirit wants to write His Word through Moses to hide a mystery. You know, because some of the sacred thing or something that God don't intend man to have the knowledge of simply by reading it. He wants man to understand it only by him, being the teacher. Do you understand that? So we see here now, and he drove out the man from the Garden of Eden to the ground, from where he was taken, he drove out the man and he placed, the word place means shakan, from the Hebrew word shakan means dwell. It's a symbol you find in chapter 9 verse 27. Just go to chapter 9 verse 27. Of Genesis. Chapter 9 verse 27 of Genesis. And you find here, and the Lord enlarged Japheth, and he shall shakan in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Shakan means to dwell. To dwell. Means his presence. He placed it there. He wants to be there. Now, you all get what I mean? Now, did not God bless Shemic people? He dwelt with them. And truly it is, God is always for them. And the descendant of Shem all the way down to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and all their descendants. And where are they today? They are still in Israel. Is that right? And where is the place where God literally, or where we would say back in the Old Testament, that God's presence dwell? In Jerusalem. Remember that? Huh? You know when the two nations were split into two, or the nation of Israel was split into two, one is the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. You know what? During the time of a battle with the Philistine, the ark was lost. And there was a temple in Shiloh. But God was, I mean people worshipped there. You know they still have the priests, they have ritual, they worship there. But you know, King David wanted the ark. So he battled against the Philistine and then took back the ark. But where did he bring the ark to? He didn't bring it back to Shiloh. No. He placed it there in the tabernacle there. No, he didn't. He took that ark and he brought it back to Jerusalem. So you have two places of worship. And this is a good illustration as to say now. There are those that worship by tradition. Get it? There are those that worship by spirit and truth. Where God present dwell. That is Jerusalem. You got it? So when we worship God in spirit and in truth. Denomination, they worship by tradition, what they have. In the days of Jesus Christ when He came, remember this temple, Herod's temple? There was no Ark of the Covenant inside. It was believed by in history, I believe it was just a scroll. I can't remember what scroll, was Isaiah or something, just a scroll behind there. There was no Ark of the Covenant. And when Jesus came, He was the Ark of the Covenant. Huh? And those are traditional worship. Israel continued to do the sacrifice, the Sabbath, on the Sabbath day, Passover, whatever they have to do, their ritual. They do it by tradition. But Jesus has came with the gospel. And He has the one, the only, and the truth. He says, I'm with the way, the truth, and the life. You see? And they don't worship God in spirit and in truth. So you see, they're different. They always have two sides. What do you worship? Do we worship because, oh, Brother Branham being on this special, oh, Brother Branham said, and then we base our belief, everything on what Brother Branham said. Instead of coming back to where He pointed us back to, the Word. For that is where the truth is. God plays His name. Where did He God place His name? Where did He place His name? Did He place His name in Brother Branham? Did He place His name in the message books of Brother Branham? Or where did He put His name there? Why did God put His name? He put His name in His own Word. And that's why we worship God in the Word. Because in the Word of God there is life. Then we need to understand this. That's why, you know, we cannot just be a man-made thing or a traditional thing or a system thing. It's all based on truth. But the Spirit of God will bring it out to you and me. Do you understand that? So now go back to that. He drove out the man. Drove out. Wow, what do you mean by drove out? Well, come in. You are fired. Out you go. And the HPA gave him up. The ultimatum. So they drove him out. Means what? He failed in his work. He didn't do his work. You know what? So the word... In the Hebrew word, you know, sometimes the Hebrew word has meaning which we don't think much. Huh? No, just God said, go. No, because man, it shows that man failed. Man failed. Because he failed, you have no right to be in paradise. You understand? So he's out you go. You have no place, sins cannot be here. Out you go. Do you understand? And God placed, or God dwelt at the east of the garden of Eden. Now every time it's always east. East is east. Okay, let's look at this now. And I want to show you something here. Now, we look at this. Yeah, that's the earth before the flood. It'll be beautiful anyway. A lot of greens. There's no snow up there on top. No snow on the bottom here. Okay, you have some water here, some water here. Of course, the earth, the sun rises from the east, the earth spins from west to east, right? So we see the sunrise on that side. Okay. Now, I said this, if this place, right here, is Eden. And so what we have here is Eden. Okay? And then we have east of Eden, the garden. Got it? Somewhere there. And you know where this is. Okay? Assuming that, as I said, after the flood came, we know this place happened to be, of course. Okay? Okay, now, that's Africa here in the south. Now, here we have the Garden of Eden. The Bible said, He drove out the man, He placed at the east of the garden. East is still on this side, isn't it? Huh? It's on this side. The garden is east of Eden, and east of the garden, It's, you know this one thing about God, everything is in the direction of going east. Now I want you to know something. In the Chinese Bible, the Chinese character, huh, tells you that the man migrated east from the west, going eastward. Now that's something, you know. And Chinese character supposedly very close to the Hebrew. Huh? Read the Chinese Bible. I mean, I don't read Chinese Bible. It depends on what I read on the internet, you know, on the Chinese side with the Bible, what they try to describe all about that, how that, what the Bible says is in a Chinese word, so that it contains that man migrate eastward from the west by the Chinese character. So, man move eastward. So, what we have is that on the east, he plays cherubim and the flaming sword which the Nebuchadnezzar. Well, of course, we know that there is no actually a boundary. God is showing here what we read in the Bible, Eden. On the east, a garden. Then on the eastern side, man was driven up, and then there was cherubim with the flaming sword. Now, these are imagery. As I said before, these are imagery. You don't expect that there was a cherubim, you know, or cherubim means more than one, as somebody would say. Then how many swords are there? There should be a cherub with only one sword. You see, there's cherubim. How many cherubim? 7, 100, 1 million, I don't know how many. There are only one sword. It doesn't mean that. Huh? It's not a literal, it's an imagery. Do you understand that? Because there's no boundary in the garden. Okay, here is the game. This is the game. Was there a pole up there? Was there a fan? No, of course not. You know? And of course, if you were have a hint, I mean, Adam could go out there and sneak back in the garden from the other direction. I mean, if you could, then you better put a cherubim on the mouth too, isn't it? So it doesn't tell you anything about a literal, it's not really a literal description right here. It's an imagery to let us know that everything is eastward. Okay? And that's where you see the rising of the sun, and we know in the Bible, the Hebrew, the temple always faced the east. Huh? Now, how far did Adam, how far did he have to go before he was out of the garden of Eden? How far? I mean, if we think about that, this is literal, huh? With the fan, this, that means he must have to walk at least 1 foot away from the, at least, huh? Maybe 1 inch away from the fence or the gate to be out of Eden. Obviously not. You see, imagery is such to tell us that man lost paradise. Paradise lost. Man no longer have it. It's gone. Paradise is what men look for, even until today. It's strange, isn't it? Men still look for paradise. They are looking for that eternal utopian environment, a world, Shangri-La, up there somewhere they say it's in Tibet, blissed. And some people find paradise or blissed by chanting, or the mantra, meditation, or Sikh Buddhism, Shintoism, or whatever. You know, where do you find your blissed? Jesus Christ says, I'm the Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm the rest. Come unto me, all you heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You can never seek rest by going up in the mountain or going to the hole in the cave and be a monk. And meditate till you have your beard grow all the way down to the floor. You still will not find a real bliss. Do you understand that? You can only find something of your own spirit to find it, but until you come to the Lord, you don't have the real thing. You see. So man did not step far outside this place called the Garden of Eden to be actually away from the presence of the Lord. Paradise is where the presence of God is. God's imagery is to say that you cannot come into this paradise anymore. But as I send you out eastward, So salvation shall come back into this paradise from the east. And we know that all that which you read in the Bible, even Jesus Christ shall come back from the east. How true that is. He shall walk through the gate, the eastern gate. What do we all sing about the eastern gate? Oh, it's because the Son of Righteousness, or the Son literally as U-N or S-O-N, in figurative or imagery, a symbol, a figurative of speech. You know. So they didn't step very far. But one thing for sure, they have to get out of that place we know as Canaan Land. They have to move out. Yeah. And so man began to toy and till the earth outside of God, outside of paradise. They're no more in paradise. Now they have to work hard. Chapter 4 says, and the God, and Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now remember this, without chapter 3, without the record of what happened in chapter 3, we will not have this record of understanding, or we cannot understand chapter 4 about Cain and Abel. Who really was Cain? Or who really was Abel? You understand that? But because of what was recorded in chapter 3, about the two seeds, then we realize that chapter 4 now tells us these two seeds. But a lot of people don't connect. When they should connect, they don't connect. When they shouldn't connect, they try to connect. That's a real problem with people. Alright, so when we read that, Adam knew his wife. Well, knew means having acknowledged, having passions with his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've got a man from the Lord. Now they try to connect this one. But they shouldn't connect. They say, see, Adam knew his wife and Cain was born, so that was his son. Huh? And again she bare his brother Abel, and she was a keeper, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And they say, now after that, Abel was born. You know, when you read this without chapter 3, I can say we can say that we do not know. But with chapter 3 record, we can see that this is, the Bible is not meant to be read like this. It is hidden, a hidden mystery. Because right here tells us, the Bible tells us clearly, that Abel was a keeper of sheep and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And it tells us there is something to do with the genetic or the spirit within them. Why they behave the way they behave? I don't know, Brother John, your Elsa is more like you or more like your wife? I used to know, huh? You look, you live, and we know each one, some of us, some of the children, stick to someone, to the parents differently because of this certain spirit within them, more strong of the father and of the mother. You see? My wife said that my son just like me. I said, I don't agree. You know, but there is some, you know, there's a spirit that takes, you know, to a father or to a mother. And sure enough, the Bible says this, that Cain was a tiller of the ground. And Abel was a keeper of sheep. Make us to realize that if you are a keeper of sheep, it shows that, you know, you have control over animals. You know, there are people who hate animals. You read this in the paper about these cat killers. Just think about it. It's so terrible. I understand when a kid, if a child, a young boy, being attacked by dogs, huh, or being chased by a dog a few times, he'll grow up to be hate dog. Probably avoid the dog. You know, when a dog is defenseless, probably kick it, and things like that, you see. Because there is a spirit that is governing a person, making a person behave the way he behaves. You see. But Abel was a keeper of sheep, shows that he was like his father who had dominion over the animals and every creatures of the field and of the air and of the sea. But Cain was a tiller, God tells you, of course, there goes the serpent. But what did the Bible say? The serpent was a tiller of the ground. That's where the Bible don't tell you everything. That's why you need to put two and two together and not one and three and four. You're going to put two and two together. You see, here is something here. Give you a similarity here and you tell the story. Do you understand? That's what we call mysteries revealed. And that's why God makes the Bible interesting, is because He hid mystery. Because He knew. He knows that His children love mystery. How many of you read Uni Bretton? Secret Seven, the famous five. Oh, I used to read that. Books and books and books. Don't put it down. One book at one day. One day. Just read it through. Wow, mystery. We are curious. We want to solve. Then we read here somewhere in the middle of the book. Yeah, I think we got the answer because of what happened back then. You know, one took the Bible in front of it and then we put together. Then finally in the end, I got it, see? You know what I mean? You get excited. And that's why God hid this mystery because you see, it takes an anointing from the writer to give it to those who are his own to understand these things. And that's why we talk about treasure hunt. The Bible is full of golden nuggets. A lot of things, a lot of treasure in there. And we can understand it if we follow the word of God. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou do not do well, sin lie at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Process of time came, you know. Of course, when they all built out of the garden, and I even left the garden, give birth to Cain, give birth to Abel, raise them up, right? Obviously, isn't it? Cain called Adam Papa. Obvious, isn't it? No doubt about it. And many often they were raised up by somebody else, and they grew up to call Mama, Papa, the one who raised them up. And those two children, two sons, they were taught. Don't tell me that they were taught. Is that alright? They were taught by Adam and Eve. As they grew up, they probably have seen Adam and Eve offer sacrifice for what happened in the garden. A sin offering, a burnt offering to the Lord. You understand? For giving them the grace. And by the time that these two boys were of age, and the Bible didn't tell us how old they were. When they were of age, both of them didn't give their sacrifice. As usual, as you read here, of course, you know, Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Everything he done. Denomination will try to explain that away. Why his offering was rejected. But they don't consider it was the blood of the offering. You know. Cain saw everything was the blood. Don't tell me when the time comes that he doesn't know that it was blood. But you see, Cain thing. He thought that, well, you don't have to be the blood. But many people's religion today, they could have got something else. And men will cook up anything. It's a chicken. It's a pig. You know, don't you? Or some fruits. You know that? Oh, maybe peach. Or plum. You know? You see that on the altar, don't you? Everything that's what men wanted to cook, men think that is the way. This is the way. Men always have their own idea. And so, Cain says, well, I could have taken it from my own. Plunder all this. This is a beautiful big pumpkin. You ever see competition in America every year? They have how big a pumpkin is. Wow, I couldn't believe the size of those pumpkins. Maybe Cain roll one big one. Very big. He rolled it and then, you know, pile it up there in the altar. Get a big banana, a bunch of whatever. He probably, you know, need to have some animals to help him roll all those things. I mean, after all, should be pleasing. God should be pleased with that. But God wasn't. Because, you see, he doesn't follow the Lord of God. And the same thing, you know, in this message. Are we going to follow the Word of God? Follow the way that God lead us? By giving us a message to point us back to the Word. Point us back to the Word. And that's the fivefold ministry. The church will be perfected. That's a ministry now. Oh no, 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 go back. That's what Brother Bram said. Going back. You have failed to obey the law. You have failed to obey the word of God. It's specific, back to the Word, back to the Abdullah, back to the Apostolic Father's doctrine, back to Pentecost. That's a clear direction. What do you want to twist it around? Say what the prophet said. Say exactly what the prophet said. Say exactly this. Say exactly that. Where is God? Is He not alive? God is the God of the living, not of the dead. And that's why when we have our opinion, we have a lot of trouble. Oh, but again, He has His own opinion. Of course, they say that of me. You know? But if my opinion is not the scripture, then my opinion is nothing. But your opinion is Brother Abraham, then you have nothing too. There's only one way we stand or fall. And the way is, either we stand on the rock, or we are not on the rock. Are you on the rock? Amen? That's where we stand. On the rock. All the ground is sinking sand. My opinion, on the rock. Your opinion, on a little pebble. On the sand, that's your opinion. And you're going to sink. That's the way it goes. Here, ever came with a firstling. The best. The Bible says, the first of his father and the fat thereof, the best one. Whoa, man. And God had respect for him. But of Cain and his offering, oh my. He had no respect. You see, Abel had the prophetic revelation of the way of God. It's all blood because God was involved. He knew it and he was taught. And he had the revelation. There are people, you keep on telling them, teach them all these things. Like Brother Ben saying in his congregation, you have been here so long, you understand what I'm saying? Amen! I'm saying you don't. They thought they knew, but they didn't. Huh? Remember Jesus Christ's disciple? Show us the Father. Show us the Father. Show us God. You mean to say that I've been so long with you, you don't even know who I am? You know what I'm saying? That's the exact thing. They can sit in the seat years after year, but they don't get anything. Hearing, 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 but they hear not. And that's the reason why, you know why people hear and they hear not? It's because why? They don't take what God gave them and then keep it. And treasure it and walk in it. Because if you fail, you cannot move on. God expects you to take one step at a time, not one whole big lambing and hold it. You can't. You need to grow step by step. And so because God did not accept Cain's offering, Cain's countenance fell. His face was so long. You ever see people so long? I didn't get my job. I didn't pass. I expect to get grade one, 8 stars. My face so long now. You know, you ever seen people that countenance fall? But not only the countenance, for he was very upset in him. Oh, Cain was very upset. And the Lord says, Cain, why are you rough? You know, he saw the fire of God came down and zoom, went up Abel's offering. He waits, oh, what happened to mine? You know, he didn't get it. Because he says, no, I don't accept it because, you know, you didn't do it right. If you have done right, he says, oh, you have done well, so do not be accepted. But fire will have fallen and consumed, but you didn't. If thou do not do well, sins lie at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. This part of the scripture, there are three interpretations. One, some denominations believe that God said to Cain, you know, because he didn't do well, you have committed sin. Huh? And sin is right at the door. It means crouching. And this sin is waiting there for you to make a choice. His desire is unto you. It means you can do with him whatever you want. You want to fulfill it, to commit it, sin, you could. Because you have rule over it. It means you have power over sin. To do whatever you want. You understand? Then the other trouble is that the other one says, because you have done wrong, it is sin. But Abel is subjected to you. You are to rule over Abel because you are the older brother. That's one of the explanations here. You understand? But this is the second one that is most commonly believed by tradition. That Cain is responsible for his blood because he's the older one. He has rule over him, which sounds very, very strange. Huh? The elder took care of the younger, that is true, but the younger elder don't rule over the younger one. Huh? The elder don't rule over the younger in the sense of the way that it is spoken here. But the actual fact here, the miss of the third interpretation, is that God told Cain, he didn't do well. But because he didn't do well, you know what? There is a sin offering right before you. The word at the door means in front of you. Huh? You know what I mean? It's at the door. It's at the coming of Christ at the door. You know what I mean by that? You know what I mean? That it's figure of speech. Christ coming is at the door. So there is a sin offering at the door, standing before you right there. There is a sin offering. The word sin here in the Bible is translated in many other places, sin offering. Same word. Believe me, Jesus Christ, He was make sin for us. Isn't it? He was make a sin offering for us. Same word in Hebrew. So God told him, it's right there. And its desire, the Bible actually says, ITS, its desire shall be to you. That offering is yielding itself to you. You have power over it to do whatever you want with that sin offering I presented you. Just like Abraham took Isaac to Mount Moriah. Right? Where is the sin offering, Dad? And Abraham said, you are the one. And Isaac subject himself to be, make the offering. But God stayed the hand of Abraham. You know what? God always provide a way. Right next to them where there is the thicker, a bush, a ram, whose horn was caught in there. How did it get caught, man? God put it there. Huh? God's horn was caught there. And see, that was a sin offering right there, Abraham. If desire shall be unto you, take it and offer it. But the king's attitude, no. 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 I want it my way. I want to approach it my way. You don't approach God your way. You approach God God's way. Every time man tries to approach God God's, you know, your own way. Bury him. That's God's way. All that movement, all that falling down, all that slain thing. You know? Oh, we speak in tongues, we jump and shout, we have everything, that's okay. Our church, you know how big our church? 1,000 members. Oh my. And what over up there in Korea, what is Reverend Damoon? Huh? Chungi. Yeah. Think of how many thousands, tens of thousands. Our church is so big. I flee away from anything that's too big. Something is wrong when it's too big. That's not God's way, that's man's way. You know, those who come God's way are far and few in between. Huh? You don't find many. Jesus Christ preached to 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. Huh? And He sent out, the disciples 2x2, He sent out some 2x2, right? But everything shrinks when the truth comes in. Nobody wants to follow the truth. He says, I am the word, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am God's way, Jesus said. Any other way will not take you to God. Any other way is contrary to God. So when we approach God, remember this, we have to come God's way. We have to follow His word. We have to approach God in spirit and in truth. And that's exactly what happened in Garden from the very beginning of time. There was this rebellious serpent seed. There was Cain. And then his descendants came the same way. And then right unto this day, the same spirit that was then in Cain is in many religious people. I'm not talking about sinners outside. I'm not talking about religious people out there in Buddhism or Taoism or whatever ism out there. I'm talking about those who try to come God's way, but they don't. But actually applied their own way. And Cain says, no, I do not want it. I do not want it. So he left God and went and met his brother Abel. We'll close it for now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for truth once again, and we thank you, Father, for guiding us and making us to understand, Lord, truly your word is truth, and there's no other way but to come your way in the way of God. It's the way of righteousness. We thank you, Father. Bless now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.